Shall turn to the Word of God in the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 4. The Gospel according to Mark, chapter 4. We can read from verse 21. Mark chapter 4 from verse 21. And he said unto them, Is a candle brought to be put under a bushel? Or under a bed, and not to be set on a candlestick? For there is nothing hid which shall not be manifested, neither was anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And he said unto them, Take heed what ye hear. With what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you. And unto you that hear shall more be given. For he that hath, to him shall be given, and he that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he hath. And he said, So is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground, and should sleep, and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, he knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come. And so on. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of that portion of his word. The Lord in this passage is teaching his disciples that we are to take heed how we hear the word of God. We are to examine ourselves, what condition we are in. We are to watch against the obstacles that prevent or hinder the word taking root. For example, the seed that fell by the wayside. It is a picture of sinners hearing the word, but they don't understand it. They don't want to understand it. And Satan comes and distracts them and, as it were, takes the word right out of their minds. And so we are to recognize the different conditions of the heart of the hearer, and we are to seek that good heart, that the word might take root in our souls. And we are to give intelligent attention to the word of God. The Lord Jesus is saying that for those who have, more shall be given. If we measure out to the hearing of the word diligence and attention and seek to put into practice what we hear, if we give this diligence, then he will give it back to us by way of more teaching, more instruction. So we have all the encouragement as well as the obligation to seek to benefit from the Word of God, to pray, to hear attentively, and give all diligence. And yet, in the parable before us, what we are told is that the ultimate effect of the seed sown, that is the word of God, is dependent on the sovereign power of God. The ultimate effect of the word preached is dependent on God's almighty grace in his sovereignty. And that is illustrated and exemplified in the chapter that we read, 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 6, where Paul the Apostle is bringing before the Corinthians the fact that God uses instruments to save sinners. But the power of saving sinners is from God himself. He says, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So the power of salvation belongs to God himself. And in comparison with this efficient cause, and that is God's power, the instrument is nothing. Ministers preach, but in themselves they are nothing. They are nothing but instruments. That's just the point. It is God who makes the seed of the word spring forth to bud and grow and increase. It is God that gives the increase. So the minister has the duty to sow the seed, that is, to preach the word. And he also reaps. He is instrumental in gathering the Lord's people together. But between sowing and reaping, there is the direct putting forth of the power of God to cause the word to take effect. And so this is the act of God the Holy Spirit to regenerate a soul, to make someone born again. And this is independent of human power. It is an inward operation that is without observation. And this is what we want to look at the parable. And the key words are, and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, he knoweth not how. So we are to use the means diligently. We are to hear the word of God. We're to pray over it, but recognize that the word taking root in the heart is by a power that is altogether apart from, distinct from, independent of human power. It is God's power. Man is an instrument, but the efficiency of the truth to save sinners is the Holy Spirit of God, not by might nor by power of man, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. And so, the Lord helping us, the 2 points that we want to learn tonight are that the effectiveness of the gospel is not by the power of man. That's the first point, not by the power of man. And secondly, not by observation, not by outward observation. We don't see it. It's inward. And this is the message of the parable of the secret growth of the seed. And he said, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, he knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come. So in regard to the effectiveness of the gospel, it is not by the power of man, and it is not by observation. We don't see the inward work of the Spirit. We see the evidence, but we don't see that inward work. So first of all, not by the power of man. The kingdom of God, which we have considered a few times in the last several weeks, is in regard to his spiritual kingdom. It is the rule of God in the heart of man. Yes, we considered Sabbath evening about God's everlasting dominion. That is, he rules over all things. All things are in his control. But when we read about the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God, particularly in the New Testament, we're thinking of what is brought before us is his spiritual kingdom, his spiritual rule and reign, his authority that is recognized in the hearts of believers. And so the Lord Jesus told Nicodemus, in order to be in the kingdom of God, ye must be born again. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. We need the Holy Spirit. We need the new birth. We need grace in our souls. And that is a divine work. Again, the power of God, not the power of man, to put grace in the soul. The Lord Jesus is saying, so is the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is like this. He's speaking about the growth of the kingdom of God being set up in the world, the subjects of his kingdom, how they are added to his church. And he's saying that the kingdom of God, in verse 30, whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what comparison shall we compare it? That's what a parable is. It makes a comparison, setting one thing beside another to provide an illustration and explanation of the subject of discussion. One thing beside another, comparison. So he sets the kingdom of God beside a field so that the field would shed light on the kingdom of God. So the kingdom of God is like this. So is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground. So again, the seed, of course, is a symbol of the word of God being proclaimed, and the word of God is preached, there are the different conditions of the heart that we find in the parable of the sower. But the point, as we already said, is found in verse 27. And should sleep, and this man who has cast the seed into the ground, he should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, he knoweth not how. The first question to ask is, who is this man? If a man should cast seed into the ground, well, some would say, well, it's the Son of Man, it's Christ. He is the one who sends the word. He, yes, uses ministers, but ultimately it's Christ who preaches the word. And indeed, one of the parables says that. But here is a case or an example in which the main point of the parable determines the explanation of the other parts of the parable. In order to understand the whole parable and explain all the different parts, what it means, you've got to find the main point of the parable. And what is the main point? It is this: he knoweth not how. The earth bringeth forth fruit of herself. This is independent of the sower. But one thing we certainly know about the Lord Jesus Christ is that he knows all things, that he does not slumber, he does not sleep. He is God. He reigns over all. So we conclude that the Lord Jesus, who is not ignorant of human thoughts and does not ever sleep, he's not unaware of what's going on, he's in control of everything, then the sower is not Christ. And if the sower is not Christ, well, who is it? It must be then the minister or the teacher. Human instruments, human agency. So that is what we find at the beginning of the parable, interpreting it in light of the main point. But then if that's the case, if the sower is the minister, then when we read about the harvest, verse 29, when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle because the harvest is come. Well, people will say, how can the minister do the harvesting? Is not the harvest pointing to the end of the world, the judgment day, the great harvest, where God's people are gathered in and they go to heaven? There will be a great harvest. The angels are the reapers. But the ministers themselves are reapers, where we find the Lord Jesus saying in John chapter 4, verse 35, speaking to his disciples, "Lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest." It's not the end of the world, and yet there's a harvest taking place. And there were people in Samaria who were coming to Christ. And that was through the agency of a woman. She wasn't a preacher, she wasn't an ordained minister, but she was doing what she could. And that's what every woman should do and every man should do in God's kingdom. They should do what they can. So she was telling the men of the city, "Come see a man which has told me everything that I have done in my life. Is not this the Christ?" Well, the Lord Jesus was saying, the harvest is, the fields are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true: one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. So ministers sow, and they also reap. They preach the word, for the convincing and converting of sinners. They also preach the word for the gathering of the Lord's people and their edification, so that preaching the word, they are instruments or means of the increase of their graces. And this is what the minister rejoices in. When there are souls who are gathered to Christ and the evidence has appeared, there's fruit, and that the sinner has truly come to the Lord Jesus. And you can ask yourself, am I one of those who have come to Christ? And how do I know? Well, we'll come to that in just a moment. But before we do, consider the parable itself, that the sower, he sleeps. This is the farmer, the man who has sowed the seed. He casts seed into the ground, verse 27, and he should sleep and rise night and day. And independent of his efforts, the seed is springing up and growing up. He knoweth not how. So the point is that the farmer or the sower, he does not go to the soil and try to blow on it, to get it to sprout up and to germinate and spring forth. No, he goes to bed. He wakes up in the morning. He sees a sign of growth. He does other things on the farm, and then he looks again at the field. And yes, there's more growth, but he didn't get inside the plant and push it up. It's all independent of his own power. Yes, there's the influence of the atmosphere, the sunlight, and the rain from the sky. But all of this is independent. It's apart from the agency of the farmer. So it is with the minister. He preaches the word. He exhorts. He prays over the sermon, prays with the people. But apart from that, there is nothing else he can do. And so he goes to bed too. He can sleep at night as well. And then, after a time, he sees the evidence of growth. And that is altogether apart from the power of the minister. It is God's power that has produced. It is the Holy Spirit which has made the word effective. Salvation is not a physical thing. The minister cannot perform CPR on the soul. He cannot come down from the pulpit and literally plant the seed of the word inside the heart. He's not like a fireman who can put the ladder next to the building and scale up the ladder and carry someone out of the flames. He can't do that. Sometimes he may wish that he could, if he can say so. But he's like the farmer. He plants the seed and watches for any growth. And God alone can give the increase. And that's the point. And it is his powerful call that does this work. When a sinner is saved, when the sinner is converted, this is the effect of God's power. It is effectual calling, that which is truly effective. It is the work of God's Spirit, whereby convincing us of our sin and misery, enlightening our minds in the knowledge of Christ, and renewing our wills, he doth persuade and enable us to embrace Jesus Christ freely offered to us in the gospel. Well, that is what we considered at the Mass night. And it is something that we should be examining ourselves about. Are we convinced of our sin and misery? Have you seen yourself, friend, to be a lost, ruined, hell-deserving sinner on the way to eternity, and being convinced of that, have you also been enlightened in your mind? Have you seen the sufficiency of Christ, his ability to save you, his suitability to your need? He's a Savior who can save. He is a Savior who has all that is necessary for salvation, and he has done all that was necessary. Have you seen that? Do you discern it? Do you perceive it? Is it sweet and refreshing to know it? Christ has fulfilled the law. Christ has suffered God's wrath. He has satisfied divine justice. He has reconciled sinners to God. and he's able to reconcile you to God, and he is calling you to do so, and he is also sending his Spirit to open the eyes of the blind. And are you seeing this, the sufficiency and suitability of Christ? Have you felt unwilling to come to Christ, and then a day came where he made you willing? You felt unwilling to be obedient to God, and then the Spirit came and made you willing to submit to him. Has he thus persuaded and enabled you to come to the Savior with a cordial, hearty approval of the method of salvation, so that you have been enabled to say, "This is all my salvation and all my desire"? If so, then the word has taken root in your soul, and that is by the power of God, effectual, powerful calling of the Holy Spirit, independent of man's power. But secondly, it is not by observation. The effectiveness of the gospel is not by outward observation. The man plants the seed, he sleeps, he rises night and day, keeps going like this, and the seed springs up and grows up, he knoweth not how. That is, the farmer himself doesn't know how. You would expect if anyone would know how, it would be the farmer, but even he himself doesn't know. Whatever else he knows about planting, reaping, even watering and other things, this is what he doesn't know. He doesn't know how it springs up. For we read, "The earth bringeth forth fruit of herself." Verse 28. That is, the seed embedded in the earth, it comes up of itself. And again, it is not saying apart from heavenly influences, the rain, the sunshine, but again, it's apart from the power of the farmer. Again, it's apart from the power of the minister. And it's apart from his perception. That's the point. It's not by outward observation. He doesn't see it happen. He doesn't see when it happens. He doesn't know the precise point. He's not inside the human heart to see the Holy Spirit work on the understanding, and so that the first act of the renewed understanding takes place. All of this is concealed to the eye of man, and we only see the evidence. You don't see the wind blow, but you see the leaves on the trees shaking in the wind. That's what the Lord is saying in John chapter 3 about the new birth and the work of the Spirit to regenerate, to make someone born again. "The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit." So there is an element of mystery in the new birth. The new birth is inscrutable. We cannot pry into the secrets of God implanting grace in the soul. We have our terminology, theological descriptions, and so on. But who can tell? Just as of course, we have modern technology, but who I think there's a verse in the Bible speaks, how can you tell the formation of the bones in her who is with child? This is something that usually is concealed. We don't see this take place, and we do not see at all the inward work of the Spirit. We only know it by the evidence. But when the evidence is there, and how joyful it is to see, and that's when the reaping takes place, when the fruit is brought forth, or rather, verse 28, "For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear." Yes, the growth is there, it is gradual, and it's so gradual that you see no movement. The farmer may go out there and see, well, that looks like grass. And perhaps grain and grass are very similar at first. But you, later on, the gradual growth, time goes by and the farmer sees a difference. And so it is a difference between grass and grain. And so it is in the spiritual realm. The minister, the elder, the teacher sees a signs of a distinction between the unconverted and the converted. God has been working. God has planted grace in the soul. Spiritual life has been put in the soul. And the evidence is the fruit. And this is observable. That is what we do see. This is what we can understand. We see the signs of growth. And the more growth there is, the more readiness there is to gather in the fruit. Where the Lord says, when the fruit is brought forth, immediately, when the evidence is there, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come. Well, there are lessons here. And once again, it is the power of God that comes to be so apparent in the gospel. It is not by might of man, but by the power of God the Holy Spirit, that sinners come to Christ. The Lord Jesus says, no man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him. It is God who draws the sinner. And so we see here in this parable the sovereignty of God. And again, why do some come to Christ and others don't? It is because for those who do come, it is the sovereign power of God which has been at work. And no man knoweth the Son save, and no man knoweth the Father save he to whom the Son will reveal him. When the Son of God reveals the Father, then that person will know the Father. And we read again in the Word of God, all men have not faith. Not everyone has faith. Again, these are solemn realities, and we should not be ignorant of it. We should not be anxious and confused. Why are there souls who are lost and remain lost? The Lord Jesus has told us it would be so. There's going to be a great divide on the judgment day, and there will be many hearers of the gospel who never came to Jesus. And it is for us to take the warning and lay it to heart. And while on the one hand we do not see the work of the Spirit taking place in believers' hearts, on the other hand, we don't see the inward harmful influence that is at work in the heart of the unbeliever. That's imperceptible also. The minister can't see that happening. He may say, why is someone not converted? Well, there's an inward evil principle at work, like a worm that's gnawing away the apple of the heart, and the fruit is spoiled. Oh, that is for you to perceive. That's for you to examine yourself. Is there some inward lust or evil desire that is creeping over you, and therefore the word is being prevented from taking root? Oh, we are held accountable for our unbelief and our rejection of the truth. So examine ourselves. That's what the other parts of this passage is telling us, to take heed what we hear and to give diligence to attend the Word of God and seek that the Word of God would take root. But as far as as the minister, elder, and teacher is concerned, the parent who is teaching his or her children and praying for the Lord's blessing, as someone put it, while the Word of God, once it has been planted in the mind and heart of a sinner, while it is out of sight, it is not out of mind. And it is in our minds, and we are praying. We're praying every day that the Word will be blessed. The farmer can't forget about the seed. He's thinking, he's hoping. And if he's a godly farmer, he's praying for that the seed will take root and grow up and so on. And so we are praying that the Lord would bless his word. And we should never think, well, we've preached, we have to leave it there, we can do nothing. We're to still be preaching, we're still be watching, we're still be ready to answer questions if possible. It is our duty to be diligent. But the point of this parable is, recognize the sovereign power of God. Ministers, after all, are only instruments. Parents are only instruments. Only God can save the soul. And we are certainly not to be indifferent when there is no fruit. It is a joyful thing when there's a great gathering, when there's a harvest of souls. It's a sad thing when sinners do not come to Christ. And so we're praying that there will be a harvest, as we find in Psalm 126 about that harvest, that those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. So once again, you've heard it before, use the means of grace diligently, as if your salvation depended upon it, but trust in God, trust in Christ alone, as if you did not use the means at all. Where is your heart? Where are you? What are you trusting in? Come to Christ, trust in him. Use the means diligently, but trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and be thankful that the word of God will not return void. Isaiah 55, verse 8, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it." May he bless his word. Ilya, would you pray?